tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
You are, Lord, I am free. temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I hope all of you have had a great week. I'm happy you are tuning in today, and I'm happy to be here with all of you. Today's message is about temptation. Everybody knows what temptation is. Temptation is something you want to have or something you want to do, even though you know you shouldn't. Everyone struggles with temptation on a daily basis. It is our human nature. Temptation can come in any form. It could be the bag of peanut butter cups on top of your fridge, even though you know that they're not good for you. It could be these really cool sneakers, the latest on the market, that you really cannot afford. But there is that credit card that would cover the expense. It could be something you want to watch on television or at the theater that is inappropriate to watch. Temptation can come from the friends you hang out with. You might be tempted to go hang out outside and do nothing when perhaps you really need to be doing something else, like mowing the lawn or things like that. You might be tempted to do more than is healthy for you. For example, after a surgery or a stay in the hospital. You might be tempted to go back on your word, forget about that obligation that you made, and go fishing instead. Every one of us have our own vices and struggles, sins that are particularly troubling to us. The devil is very good at finding our weakest points and seducing us with them. He wraps them up in such pretty little packages, and even though we know something might not be good for us, we want it so bad and it looks so pleasing to us. Sometimes we think, one time won't hurt anything. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Do not think that that one time will not eventually catch up to you, because it will. Sometimes it may be instantly. Sometimes we call that karma. And at other times it may catch up to us slowly, over a period of time, making us think that we got away with something. Do not be fooled into thinking that you pulled the wool over God's eyes. He knows everything you do, and He knew you were going to do it before you even knew you were going to do it. That is a sobering fact for sure. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." I find that to be very comforting, a comforting verse. A long time ago, when I was much, much younger, I used to like to go to this local nightclub with some girlfriends and have a few drinks, relax, and have some fun. I did not go all the time, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. This was about the time that I was just getting serious about seeking the Lord and learning to have a relationship with the Lord. Back in those days, I guess for a while, you could say that I straddled the fence, so to speak. I had one leg here and one leg there. The closer I got to the Lord, the stronger the conviction became. I struggled in that area of my life for many months. I really wanted to be with my old set of friends, doing the thing that I had always enjoyed with them, but in my heart, I knew I should not be going to the nightclub anymore. I had accepted the Lord into my heart. The Holy Spirit was dwelling within me. I was starting to hang around with a new set of people, making new friends, Christian friends. But yet, there was this one area of my life that the devil knew was a weakness for me. He would set a trap, fill my head with all kinds of lies, and I would fall for it every time. I would justify my choice by telling myself, oh, it could be worse. I could be doing all kinds of other things. I could be doing it every night. It's just once every month or every 2 months. It's not that big of a deal. But I started praying without ceasing that God would help me to overcome that temptation. As time went on, I discovered that I liked going less and less until finally it held no appeal to me at all. God had answered my prayers for help, and the devil lost the battle. I never went back. That is what the devil does to us, though, folks. I am sure that all of you can relate to my story and have found yourselves in a predicament where you were tempted to do something or go someplace that was not good for you, or getting involved with any number of other things. You fill in the blank for your own personal struggle. Temptation comes from your own inward desire for something. The outward object is the occasion for your temptation, but it is not the cause. The cause comes from your own mind. If you purify your desires, the temptation will eventually go away. When you purify your thoughts, things that used to tempt you become dead and lifeless. This is what happened to me with the struggle over my social life. When that desire gets removed from your heart, the outside object no longer holds any allure. For example, the honest person cannot be tempted to steal, no matter how lucrative the opportunity. One of the biggest problems people face is that they work on their outward objects, but fail to address the inner cause. Once you work on gluttony, addiction, infidelity, or other temptations, they fall away. I'm not saying it will be easy, but I am saying that addressing the inner cause is vital to your success. All of us would like to avoid temptation. We pray to God to help us stay away from it. Other times we pray to Him that we won't be tempted by anything. The thing is, temptation will always be there for as long as our hearts remain unchanged. In James 1:14, the Bible says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Some of us ask where God is when temptation comes, or why didn't God give us the strength to resist when we fall? The truth is that the Bible makes it very clear that when we face temptation, God is there, giving us a way of escape. He is there, giving us an open door or window that will allow us to run from temptation and sin without a hair on our head disturbed. Not only that, He also gives us the power to resist giving in to temptation. In Romans 5:20, the Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Grace is not something that's that hard to understand. God's grace is unmerited favor. His goodness toward those who have no claim on and no reason to expect divine favor. God's grace is a gift to all of us. We fall short and stumble every day. None of us are perfect. We do not deserve the good things that we have on our own merit, but by God's grace, He deems us worthy to have what we have. Do not forget to thank God every day for all of your blessings, and to thank Him for waking you up in the mornings. The grace that God supplies, the grace that allows us to turn from sin, is very powerful. God promises us that the grace He gives us will be enough to empower us to walk righteously with Him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, He promises, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So what is the difference between sin and temptation? Temptation is not a sin. It is a trial of faith. And through the Bible, we can endure temptations without ever committing a sin. When desire or temptation is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death to our souls. From this, we can see that temptation alone is not committing sin. Sin is the result of conception, when our mind agrees with the desire that dwells in us, our human nature. Sin entered the world due to an act of disobedience by the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Because of Adam and Eve, their sin, we all have a tendency to follow our own self-will rather than God's will. It becomes sin when we choose to do the wrong thing. Sin cannot be carried out unless we agree with it. James, a teacher in the Bible, teaches us that temptations are a trial of our faith, and those who endure without committing sin will receive the crown of life. Now, I want to talk to you about the truth about temptation for a moment. I read an article recently about a businessman and a police officer. It reads like this. During a busy lunch hour in a crowded downtown area, a businessman was searching for a parking place. He circled the block again and again with no results. Deciding to double park, he took out his business card and wrote a note for any officer who might come along and ticket him. The note he wrote said, "Dear officer, I circled this block 10 times. I have an appointment to keep." He closed his note with, "Forgive us our trespasses." About an hour later, the businessman returned to the parking lot to find a parking ticket under his windshield. It read, "Dear businessman, I have circled this block for 10 years. If I do not give you a ticket, I will lose my job." And he ended his note by saying, "Lead us not into temptation." Folks, sooner or later, temptation will come our way, but we play a key role in how to effectively resist it. It is true, the devil plays a role in tempting you. You must first cooperate with the devil, though, before you give in. As Christians, we face 3 enemies every day: our flesh, the world, and the devil. The flesh is the part within each of us that is vulnerable to doing the wrong thing. Then comes along the devil, with his outward enticing traps that make everything seem okay. Then, of course, there is the world. Let's put it like this. Our flesh mixed with our desires is the internal enemy for each of us. The traps that the devil sets for us by making everything so pretty and feeling all warm and fuzzy is the infernal enemy. It is sort of the match that lights the fire. Along with all the other alluring things in this world, that being the external enemy. We must recognize, folks, first, that temptation comes from our mind, the part of us that is determined to do something wrong, our human nature. When we give in to that temptation, we only have ourselves to blame. Sometimes we want to blame God. But if you read James from the Bible, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' because God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone." Let me tell you a little something about temptation's timing. Temptation generally comes after a great time of blessing. Think about that for a moment. Sometimes you're just going along and everything's great and you've had the victory and boom. Something comes into your mind and you're taken off guard by it, but it sounds like a really great idea, and so it just goes downhill from there. But temptation generally comes after great times of blessing. It hit Jesus when he went to the Jordan River and was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and the God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately after this, Jesus went into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. First came the dove, or the victory, then came the devil. After the blessing comes the trial. Everyone is tempted. But Satan focuses his attacks on those who are young in faith and those who are making a difference in God's kingdom. Satan does not need to focus on people who do not believe because they are of no threat to him. They do not believe in God, therefore they do not have to set traps for them. Satan has already won the battle over their soul. Think about it for a moment. When you first let Jesus into your heart, weren't you met with some serious temptations? Likewise, if you have said, "Lord, I want you to use me," haven't you felt Satan attacking you more so every time you turn around? We have to be aware, folks, and stay aware of our surroundings at all times. Be mindful of what we let into our life. Suit up with God's Word every morning before you start your day, so that you will be on your toes and looking for any trap that Satan tries to set for you that day. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been amazed after you have caved into temptation and you ask yourself, "Wow, how did I end up here?" Here's the answer. It was through a series of events that led you to ultimately rationalizing the sin. Think of it as if an unwelcome visitor were knocking on your door. You know you'll have trouble if you open that door. In the same way, when the enemy comes along with temptation, that hits the very core of your weakness. Do not open the door. In fact, do not even look through the peephole. Do not underestimate the power it can have over you. If you remember, when Jesus was out there in the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, Jesus used the Word of God to resist temptation. In the same way, when the devil comes and tempts you, your best defense is the Bible. For example, if Satan whispers in your ear, "Go ahead and do that," fill in the blank for what that is for you. No one will ever know. Then you better come up with some scripture to counteract what the devil just said to you. For instance, here in Hebrews 4:13, the Bible says, "All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must one day give an account." That, folks, is some very serious, serious business. Temptation is the devil's primary way of attacking you. I am sure we all know a lot about that. In James 1:12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation." A better translation of the word blessed would be happy. Happy is the person who makes it through temptation. Folks, everyone feels the urge to give in to our temptation at some point in our life. Perhaps when you were much younger, because sinning gives us tangible yet fleeting benefits at the cost of moral and spiritual ones. I hope through the years, though, that each of you have become wiser and have found that you are affected less and less every day by your temptations. Or at least you know Scripture better and can make wiser choices and not give in to your temptation. That is our goal. Whatever fleeting benefits you might receive from giving in to your desires are just that. They are fleeting. Soon you will find yourself needing another fix, and you will go out and do something you shouldn't again and again and again. I want to talk to you about three temptations. In John 2:16, the Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." What is the lust of flesh? The lust of flesh is the temptation to feel physical pleasure from some sinful type of activity, to do something to make the flesh feel satisfied. And this can be any sinful activity that will bring pleasure to the body. And a few examples are maybe some things you didn't even consider to be flesh sins. Gossip, physical violence, drug use, alcohol use, sexual sins, and so many more. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, the Bible tells us, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, anger, strife, envying, murders, drunkenness, and such like. of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, don't let the devil trip you up and make you lose out on your crown when you pass from this earth. That is some pretty straightforward stuff. It doesn't leave room for much doubt. So what is the lust of the eyes? This is the temptation to look upon things we should not look upon, or to have things that we should not have. It means to cast your eyes on something with desire or pleasure, even when God tells you not to. Coveting is a prime example of that. We do not hear that word too often these days, but it is the 10th commandment. And it means to have a strong desire to have something that rightfully belongs to someone else. For example, it's not fair that my brother was able to buy that fancy car. I want one just like that. More examples of coveting are not only desiring other people's material possessions, but also being jealous of status or appearances. It is the recognition of something visually appealing and wanting it for yourself. This brings me to the third temptation, which is the pride of life. Does anybody know what that means? Pride of life is the temptation for excess greatness or power that we feel we must obtain for ourselves. Pride is one of the sins that God hates the most. Some examples of this sin include the following: desiring to get credit or glory for things others or God did, desiring for others to worship us or hold us in high esteem, to make a name for ourselves, desiring to feel valued or more important than others around us, or desiring to have positions of power over others in a way that puffs up our own ego for the sake of bragging rights. Let's consider the words of Satan himself, who was so filled with pride that he wanted to be God. In Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It's important to note that it is not a sin to enjoy physical pleasure in things in which God allows us to feel pleasure, like sitting outdoors in nature or watching wildlife, things like that. There is nothing wrong with enjoying a delicious meal, but overeating is gluttony. Anything in excess is called gluttony. There is nothing wrong with looking at beautiful things. There are many beautiful things in this world: paintings, rainbows, mountain landscaping, the oceans, etc. But when we lustfully look upon things that God has commanded us to avoid, that is wrong. Finally, there is nothing wrong with having ambition or wanting to work hard. However, the problem lies where we fail to give God all the glory, the credit, and praise, and we want to keep all that glory and praise for ourselves. Remember, though, no matter how tempted you may be in a situation, Jesus felt the same temptations as we do today. He became man and wandered the earth. He felt firsthand all the things that we struggle with in our lives. God promises, though, each of us, that no matter how hard the temptation is, He will always provide a way of escape. And I just really love that. I really do. He will always provide a way of escape. So, folks, if you're experiencing peer pressure, and perhaps you just want to go hang out with friends like I used to want to do, the wrong crowd, you know, whatever it may be that is tempting you today, before you make that decision to give in to temptation, look around you and look at all the other things that you could do instead. You know, maybe you could, instead of going out to a nightclub or something, maybe you could take your family out to a movie, or to feed the ducks at the local pond, or go to a nature center or something like that. You know, you don't have to give in to temptation. God will provide a way of escape. We just have to choose obedience over wrongful choices. A troubling addiction a betraying thought, a compromising situation. Temptation comes in many forms, sparking a battle for our very souls, and that has only one goal, to cause us to stray off the path that leads to godly living. Temptation should not be taken lightly. Temptation is often strongest when we are at our weakest. The longer we allow it to brew in our thoughts, the more dangerous temptation becomes. We must learn to recognize the temptation and keep it in check. Temptation is one of the enemy's most powerful schemes against us. Temptation says, "It's okay," but nothing could be farther from the truth. In God's eyes, there are no small or big sins. It does not matter if you take a piece of bubble gum from the front counter area of the gas station, or you run over a person because you're not paying attention. Sin is sin in God's eyes. There is no small or big sin. When we are tempted, we can usually convince ourselves that we can hide whatever we're doing. But there is no hiding from God. Our tempting thoughts also try to undermine or twist the meaning of the scriptures, but it is all a part of the devil's master plan to keep us off the path that we are supposed to be following. Temptation tries to silence the voice of the Holy Spirit, your guide to all truth. By silencing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can fool ourselves into thinking that we can make it all on our own. How many of you have fallen into that trap? I would say probably all of us have fallen for that at some point in our lives. And maybe we still do. Remember, nobody's perfect. Battling temptation is a daily walk. I want to share a couple of things with you that might help you win against the battle of temptation. First of all, you have to be honest with God. At the time of temptation, do not debate the issue, do not argue with God, just admit it. Be honest. The longer we wrestle with tempting thoughts, the closer we get to committing the sin. Run from temptation as soon as you recognize it. Secondly, recognize your enemy. Understand that it is serious business. Recognize that you are engaged in a battle for your very soul. There is an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that comes from 1 Peter 5:8. If you think I sound crazy, go find that scripture in the Bible. That is 1 Peter 5:8. Don't you feel like sometimes that there's something very near to you, like breathing down your neck, making you uncomfortable, making you stressed out or anxious? That is your enemy prowling around, gaining ground on you, trying to devour you. This enemy will use any temptation to draw you away from God. Thirdly, realize that you are not alone in your struggle. Satan tries to discourage us through isolation, telling us that our temptation is unique. It is simply not true. Resist, resist, resist the devil. My last and fourth suggestion is pray and give thanks. Even in the middle of the struggle, as corny as that may sound, thank God for the opportunity to experience the victory that is coming. Thank Him for providing an escape route. And so here is a good place to take a break and play you a few songs. And this first song is going to be I Am Not Alone by Carrie. I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Carrie Job or something like that. But anyway, I hope you enjoy the song, and I'll meet you back here in a few minutes.
Waters, I know that you will be with me. defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful.
Never let go of me, yeah. Oh, 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 singing. Oh, no, you never let go.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I hope you enjoyed the music through the break. If you are just tuning in, today's message is temptation. For those of you who are just tuning in, after the show is over, my podcast will be uploaded to the Shaziz website. You can go back and listen to the whole message if you like what you've heard. And if you know that a friend might need this, is struggling in this area, then please, by all means, share it with them. We all know what temptation is and that the struggle is very real. So I will not recap on the first half today. I'm just going to go back in and jump right back into the message where I left off at before the break. Question: how can I overcome temptation? And the answer: the Bible tells us that we all face temptations. As you search for certain scriptures, perhaps it will provide a little encouragement, as we often feel that the world is crashing in on us. We feel like we are all alone with our situation, isolated from our friends and family. Sometimes it appears that other people around us are immune to temptation. But let me tell you, folks, no one is immune to temptation. Where do these temptations come from? First of all, they do not come from God. God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Sometimes God does allow temptation to happen to us, because temptation is a faith test. If we do not have a relationship with God, our own attempts to resist temptation will fail. Only through the Bible will we find that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There is no greater weapon against temptation than the Word of God. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are here on earth." If our minds are filled with the latest television programs, inappropriate music, and all the other things that the culture has to offer, we will be bombarded with all kinds of messages and images that will lead us to do wrong things. But if our minds are filled with the holiness of God, the love and the compassion of Christ, allowing God to be our compass, we will find that our interest in wrongdoings will diminish and then disappear. Without the influence of God's Word on our minds, we are open to anything the devil wants to throw at us. We must constantly be renewing our mind, folks. In Romans 12:1 and 2, the Bible tells us that we must no longer think as the world thinks, or walk in the same way that the world walks. Proverbs 4:14 and 15 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by. Turn away from it and pass on." Folks, we need to avoid the path to temptation because our flesh is weak. I used to think when I was younger and I was going to the nightclubs, I used to think that if I didn't drink a lot of drinks or anything like that, if I was just there with my friends and I controlled how much I drank, then that wasn't gluttony. You know, this is kind of where my mind was going back in those days, which was a long time ago. But anyway, and so I would justify it by saying, well, I'll behave myself. Once I get there, I won't overdrink. I'll keep it to one or two, and I'll be fine. You know, nothing's going to happen. But that is so wrong, and I knew I was lying to myself even as I was saying it to myself, because I knew that being there was a weakness. So, folks, we need to avoid the path to temptation because our flesh is very weak. And you might have the same mindset that I used to have, but then when you get yourself into that environment, you kind of get carried away. You know, one's good, two's better, three's great, you know, and so on and so forth. We are easily carried away by our own desires. One of the ways we can resist temptation is by starting the morning with prayer. Turning to God every morning is a good way to consistently fight back against potential pitfalls. Start each morning by thanking God for the day ahead, by asking for His guidance, and by seeking His strength to get you through the day. Perhaps there are specific issues or temptations that you want to mention to God before the day even gets fully started. doing these things every morning is an excellent way of preparing yourself both mentally and spiritually for what may come up throughout the day. And I oftentimes pray also that, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, convict me immediately so that I can pray about it, ask your forgiveness, and get on with my day. The Bible is filled with imperfect human beings, just like us. These human beings were tested and tempted, just like us. Some of them failed, just as we fail, in our quest to overcome temptation. Luke 11:4 says, "Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone else who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." After the message today, look up Hebrews 4:15. It gives a blueprint on how to resist temptation by encouraging believers to turn to Jesus' example and to remember that Christ also suffered temptations, but yet he never sinned. Perhaps you have Christian friends that you could ask some advice of. You might learn some very useful tips and strategies to overcome your situation from some of the things that they might tell you. God gives us tools, but it's also up to us to take preventative measures to try to avoid the temptation. If you know that there's a certain event, place, and or circumstance that you are more likely to experience temptation and that you're more likely to fail, be intentional about avoiding such scenarios. Taking preventative measures makes it easier to resist temptation when it comes your way. It is all about being intentional, folks. If you are truly interested in resisting temptation, it will require lots of prayer, discernment, and some deep thought to pinpoint those triggers that lead you down the wrong path. You might try watching some movies about people who have overcome temptation in their own personal situations. Another good idea is creating a journal to document all of your ups and downs as well as your prayers. These prayer journals should be open and raw and honest. This could be a long-term solution also. Prayer journals are great. They're very helpful. Not only does a journal help put your thoughts, emotions, and dreams in order, but it gives you the ability to document and see over time what God has been doing in your life. A journal is an important lens into your life, one that can build up and transform your faith. Remember this, when we are yielding to sin, God will not hear our prayers. I will repeat that again. Remember this. When we are yielding to sin, God will not hear our prayers. We're on our own. Now, I want to share a little bit more with you about understanding temptation. Think about it for a moment. What are some of your desires? What do you want more than anything? If you want to follow Jesus, then tell him. Ensure your desire is what he desires. Jesus gave up this simple prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." You can say that also. You need to be very aware when temptations come upon you. The devil generally comes when we are feeling weak or when we are unwary. Here are a few examples of that. When we are overly tired, we do not make wise choices. Try to get an adequate amount of rest every night. When we are stressed, that feeling is from the devil. God will not make you feel stressed because he is the God of peace. When we trust in God, when we obey God, our stress levels will decrease. When we are discouraged, we do not make wise choices. We feel down and defeated. These emotions are also from the devil. God does not want us to feel defeated. He wants us to rise up and be the mighty conquerors that he created us to be. When you are bored, it gives your mind too much time to think. There's an old proverb that says, "Idle hands are the devil's workshop." Stay engaged with life and in healthy relationships. This does not mean that you have to be active all the time, and it does not mean that you'll never get bored if you stay active. Sometimes you can be active and still be bored whatever you're doing. But just do not give in to purposeless idleness. Another area that can lead us astray is when we have spiritual victory. It is so easy to become complacent in our spiritual victories, in the face of our victories. Victory can sometimes cause us to be vulnerable in other areas of our life and cause us to slip up and make a mistake. Take care of yourselves, folks. Rest, exercise, eat well, worship, keep your entertainment pure. Be careful what you watch, what you listen to, and the people that you hang out with. A routine of physical and spiritual health will lessen your weariness and will lessen your stress. It is also good to share the journey with others. Find mentors. Find others walking with Jesus and ask them questions. This is why I share some of my own personal past experiences with you sometimes on the show. I share because maybe one of you out there going through something similar to something that I have already been through, and by sharing my experience and telling you how God pulled me through, I pray that God will use me as a tool, a messenger, to help you through something that you are going through. You are not alone with your struggles, and it is important to remember that every temptation you face, Jesus also faced temptation all throughout his life on earth. But he overcame it, and so can you. I know I mentioned this earlier, but something that helps me is to remember this verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, a way of escape, so that you can endure it. Another verse that often comes to mind is from Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Luke 11:14, the Bible says, forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. There are lots of verses in the Bible about that. If I find myself tempted in something that I was... Let me say that again, folks. Boy, my tongue is really twisted this morning. I'm having a terrible time. If I find myself tempted in something, I will speak out to the devil out loud. Devil, get away from me. I do not serve you. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. There is no room for you in my life. I do not want you here. Go away. If you tell Satan to flee, he has to. When you speak God's name, Satan knows he has just lost the battle. Do not give place to the devil in your life. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example of what that means. This is from another article that I read, and it reads like this. Let's say you own 50 acres of land, and I want 1 acre right in the middle of that 50 acres. You sell it to me. Now I have the right to go in and out of your property at will to get to my 1 acre. Suppose I start throwing trash around and playing my music too loud at all hours of the day and night. I am desecrating your property, but there is nothing you can do about it. You have given me access. You try to make me leave, and I say to you, I'm not going anywhere, and you cannot make me. I have a legal right to my property. If you do not like it, too bad. And you would not be able to move me out because you gave me a place there. Some of you have done the same thing with Satan. You have given him a stronghold over a certain area in your life. He owns that part of your life. Here are some of the strongholds we struggle with in our life, and here is what to do about some of them. First of all, repent. Be done with it. Confess it. Forsake it. Turn 180 degrees and walk the other way. Run the other way. If you're a liar, you have created a climate where the devil feels welcome. Lying is the devil's nature. In John 8:44, the Bible says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. Folks, the devil is the prince of darkness. God's kingdom is built on truth. If there is an area in your life that is dishonest, that will be the devil's playground. If you would steal even so much as a piece of bubble gum, you have made a place for the devil. In Luke 16:10, the Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is much, and he that is unfaithful in that which is least, is unfaithful also in that which is much." It does not matter to God what you might take that belongs to someone else. With God, all those who do it are considered thieves. And filthy speech is another one, folks. The Bible tells us, "Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth." Also, the Bible says, "And neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. The devil, folks, is filthy. Do you like to gossip? Let me tell you, gossip assassinates the character of the person you are talking about. It steals someone's reputation to make you feel better by trying to put someone else down. Did you also know that that is a form of stealing? It is. Think about it. When you gossip, you assassinate someone else's character. You take something from them, their reputation. It is a form of stealing. Do you curse? Do you lie sometimes? Do you get involved in such foolish talk and crude jokes? Let me tell you, here's a sobering fact, folks. And when I read this, it just stopped me dead in my tracks, like, screech! I never thought of it this way. But here's what the Bible says. God says that if you have a filthy mouth, you have a filthy heart. How about that? Wow, that is big. None of us want to think that we have a filthy heart. Wow, that just resonates in me. Satan loves a filthy mouth and a heart, though. You have just given him a stronghold over that area of your life. And let's talk about bitterness for a moment. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor," which means a loud uproar, "and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." If you are bitter, folks, you are demonstrating all the signs of the devil. He loves to find a bitter heart. If you are bitter, then you have no joy, no victory, and your prayers are not getting through to God. You are ruining your own life and the life of others around you. You are contaminating your life and those lives around you. But the devil is not finished yet. Bitterness often leads to slander. The word devil actually means slanderer. If you are giving in to such temptations as slander, gossip, speaking evil things, then you're doing the devil's work. Bitterness turns to wrath, burning on the inside. It smolders into our heart until eventually it blows up into flames. Yet still, the devil is not done with you. That anger then turns to clamor or shouting. That turns into evil speaking or cursing. Can I sit here and amen here, folks? I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. So let me say that again. Anger turns into shouting, turns into evil speaking and cursing. And then you begin to say things that you do not mean. And from there, you are out of control. But folks, you open the door for certain temptations. And that is how the devil comes in. The devil can take no ground except for what you give him. We just have talked about repenting. Now let's talk about resisting the devil. Even after you repent, the devil is not going to just walk out. In James 4:7 of the Bible, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." What you gave the devil, you must take back. You must take it back. Don't let him have control over even one tiny area in your life. Any unconfessed sins or temptations is legal ground for the devil. Until you confess it all, the devil has every right to set up camp in your mind. He is not going to just walk out willingly. You have to run him out. The Bible says the devil will flee from you, but you but you try to resist the devil with something unconfessed in your life, the devil's just going to laugh in your face. Renew your mind. In the Bible it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Folks, it is not enough to shed the old man, which means to give up your old sinful ways. No, it's not enough. You must also put on the new man. Be ye not tempted to do what is sinful in God's eyes. To be filled with the Spirit means that there is not one room in your temple, your body, where God is shut out. Not one locked portion that He does not have the key to. What this means is that your family life, business life, sex life, political life, church life, social life, your money, exercise, sleep, eating, God is in it all. You have a choice. You can choose to grieve the Spirit of God and be filled with the devil, or you can put the devil out and be filled with the Spirit of God. It sounds like a simple choice, and really it is. The hard part is being obedient and consistent to God's Word and resisting the devil. The idea of making the choice to follow God's rules is the easy part. Then the real work comes in, applying it to our daily life, being consistent, making the devil flee. The devil is behind most of the problems that we have, but God is to the devil what kryptonite is to Superman. God renders the devil powerless with His spoken word. The word of God seems foolish to many folks, for those who do not know for sure what their feelings are about God. But in reality, the word of God is the powerhouse for you and I. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In Ephesians 3:20-21, the Bible says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory forever and ever." Here is another powerful verse in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Folks, we can overcome temptation. God does not give us more than we can bear, and He will always give us a route of escape to endure it. But it is up to us to want to get rid of those strongholds in our life. But if you know what you're looking for, and you have a clear knowledge and a receptive heart to God's Word, then you will make getting rid of these certain strongholds in your life happen. Here are some strategies to be aware of that the devil tries to use on us. The devil focuses in on stealth. We must constantly be vigilant of our surroundings and stay on guard so that we do not fall into the devil's traps. The devil focuses on ignorance. The devil does not want you to know the incredible power of God's Word and the awesome benefits of God's will. Scripture memory is one of those things. The devil focuses on trying to get you confused and ignorant of God's Word. If he can keep you confused, then the Bible might as well be written in a foreign language, because you're not going to understand the meaning. The word is veiled, making you in danger of falling into the devil's traps, meaning you don't see what the meaning is in the Bible. The devil focuses on keeping you in unbelief. If the devil can keep the truth from you, then you will not take the truth seriously. The devil plants thoughts of disbelief so that you will think certain things, like memorizing Bible verses are not that important. Other things are way more important than that. The devil focuses on getting you to doubt that God exists and to doubt the accuracy of the Bible. He focuses on creating distractions for you. Suddenly, you will become tired, hungry. You will start thinking about your grocery list that you need to make out, or the golf trip you're going on tomorrow with your buddies. Or someone will call you at the most inopportune times. We've all been there. You might even feel inclined to surf the internet all day long. Seriously, we have all been there and probably are still working on some of this and working through it. You are not alone. The struggle is very real. The devil will focus on getting you to tell outright lies. Everything the devil says is a lie. He cannot be trusted, folks. The devil will whisper in your ear, "It's okay to tell a half-truth. Mix a little bit of truth with a whole lot of untruth. It is really a thing." Satan attacks your mind. That is why our minds are always a battlefield. Satan's job is to keep you ignorant of the truth, keep you confused, in doubt, angry, basically anything that creates chaos in your life. Satan goes after your body by inflicting suffering upon you. His purpose is to get you to be impatient with God's will for you. Satan attacks your will by attempting to sow pride in your life so as to make you independent of God's will for your life. The devil hates you because you love God. He will do anything to destroy you with all forms of temptation. But God will help those who walk in obedience to Him and who put their complete trust and faith in Him. The thing that you must always remember, you are the rope in a spiritual tug of war between good and evil. It is your choice what path you decide to follow. Folks, anytime, every time, before you decide to give in to temptation, ask yourself these questions. Is it in line with Scripture? Have I really thought about my decision and the possible consequences of that decision? Have I asked for God's wisdom? Do I have a deep inner conviction and peace about it? Have I sought the advice of a mature believer? Will this help me to further the kingdom of God? Folks, my suggestion for your victory is to read and learn Scripture, pray before being tempted, pray in the midst of temptation, get someone to pray with you, be devoted to seeking knowledge about the will of God, take good care of yourself mentally and physically, obey what God tells you to do, run the opposite direction from temptation. You know what triggers you. Simply do not go there. Ask someone to hold you accountable. Remember God's faithfulness to us and remind ourselves of the consequences of our sins. Folks, thank you for being here with me today. I hope your heart has been receptive and God has spoke to you this morning about something that needs fixing in your life. I hope you have received the message that the Lord wanted you to hear today. And at this time, I am going to pray. I would like for each of you to join along with me by repeating what I say. Dear Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, which paid the penalty of my sin. Please keep me from present and future temptations that war against my soul. In your perfect love, provide the way of escape. Your word promises it. Thank you for the grace to walk with you every day. Satan, I have given you a place in my heart in the past, but I take it back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Today, I take a stand, and I bring Jesus Christ against you. If He is for me, then who shall be against me? It is done. Lord, help me not to fall into temptation. Let there be less and less of me, and more of you. Thank you for your forgiveness and your grace and your love and your mercies that are new every day. You remove our sins and cast them into the sea as far from the west is to the east, never to be spoken of again. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless each and every one of you this week until next week. Same time, same place. I love you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's the first song, Overcomer.
Father's love. destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. And He never sinned, but suffered as if He did. Testimony, everyone.